May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 509. 509. Come, come my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. Hymn 509.
Thank you. Lord, help us this morning in reading from his most holy word, the book of prophet Isaiah, chapter 30. Chapter 30 in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come for ever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore ye shall flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. And then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which have been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Ye shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word to our souls, and may help us as we come before him in a solemn position in prayer. Almighty, most holy, all-powerful God, we come before thee as poor creatures, and we feel this, Lord. The nations of the earth are as a drop of a bucket. How do we stand then in our smallness before a mighty God? And Lord, indeed, we are just poor creatures. But Lord, we hope that though there are poor creatures here today to dive into worship thee, we hope, Lord, that thou wilt come with thy presence and look upon us in mercy. And Lord, we do plead that thou wilt make one in our midst, in our worship, that the Holy Spirit will descend, and Lord, that souls will be on fire. Lord, we do pray that already they have been on the stretch for a blessing, for a portion this day. And Lord, we do plead, as our dear friend did plead in the vestry, that Satan, with all his desires and designs, may not stand in the way. And Lord, we know he cannot in the day of thy blessing, in the day of thy favour. But we know this, he will try. And Lord, we do thank thee that thou art a performing God, and that thy power is greater than his. And we do thank thee, therefore, Lord, that though we have known even personally what it is to be detained and to have that trying journey, and yet, Lord, not prevented, may it be, Lord, that thou would use a word this morning for souls. May it be, Lord, that there were those to be benefited under it. And Lord, that therefore the enemy, having put all his attempts to block roads and to shut roads down and to do those things that would stand in the way, and maybe the poor sinners here know what it is to have those things that have stood in the way, even as they've come. They may even have walked to worship, but still there's those barriers in their heart, barriers put up by the enemy. Lord, break down the barriers and do come and bless poor souls this day, so that they will be so favoured, Lord, that it will be like this: there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from heaven above. Oh, Lord, we pray that it will be so, and souls will be fed. Yes, souls will be watered. Souls will be enabled to carry on with the journey here in the wilderness, leaning upon their beloved, stepping forward into Monday and into the week ahead. Oh, Lord, do come with a word. Oh, we do pray. Oh, we think of one that came to Jeremiah. Is there any word from the Lord? And Lord, perhaps that's how a poor sinner has entered in. They've walked over the parapet. Is there any word from the Lord? Lord, may there be a word for my poor soul. May there be something to help me to continue in the journey of faith. Oh, Lord, we pray then for those blessings. We pray for that it might be a season of true favour. Lord, we do plead that, oh, we may not touch anything that's gone before. Thy servant preaching here on Friday. Oh, and that which has gone before in preceding weeks. For, Lord, we know that thou dost use thy servants. And, Lord, as one follows another, so often there is that laying up and that continuum of a theme, even though they know it not. Lord, we would not hurt it. We would not injure it. We would not in anything of ourselves touch it. But may we prove, Lord, even this poor sinner today, that thou wilt touch our lips with the live coal from off the heavenly altar. And then we will speak well of our Lord, of our Master. Then, Lord, it will be thy work and not man's work. Oh, Lord, keep us from man's work. Oh, help our friends in choosing the hymns, that again is not necessarily, although, Lord, there's nothing wrong in having their favourite hymns, but that they might be led to the hymn to have at the time. And, oh, Lord, we thank thee for the hymn on prayer. How much prayer we need to continue in our life, thou knowest. So, Lord, be with us today. Be with those that cannot be with us, Lord, through illness and other things and afflictions. We pray for those that have the virus. We pray for thy favour to be upon each one in their illness, and do bring them through it, Lord, we do pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy preserving hand. We thank thee for thy mercies. Are they not new every morning? Lord, do not thy compassions fail not. So we thank thee this morning for thy many favours to us each. Lord, thou knowest that we would praise thee. Thou knowest that we would honour thee in that way with thanksgiving. Thou knowest, Lord, that the very desires of our heart would be to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And Lord, therefore, may we do so today. And Lord, we often refer to the term in singing the hymns to sing thy worthy praises. Oh, then give us a heart and tongue to sing them out. And Lord, that comes from our very heart within our spiritual soul, to praise God and to bless him. To bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because, Lord, one of the things that we feel so often we do when we confess our sin in this regard is we look at our troubles, we look at our trials, and, Lord, oh, we don't see the benefits and the blessings that are surrounding us. Lord, help us to look to those things. Lord, we do plead for each of thy servants that have gone forth on Zion's walls this day. Lord, strengthen them, help them, be with them. Some have very long days and lots of travelling. Others are nearby, Lord, yet the burden of the ministry still sits heavily upon them. Lord, we pray for them each and for thy blessing. And thine aged servants, Lord, and we do pray for them. We do plead that thou would strengthen them for the work to continue as long as they are enabled. And, oh, Lord, yet send labourers into the harvest, we beg of thee. And, Lord, exercise souls for this great work. And, Lord, it is thy work. But we know this, we believe it, that there is that time that they must go forth. And we pray that we might see those times. We thank thee, Lord, that there have been those sent out on the walls of Zion in the past few years. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt further thy work in that regard. Lord, we plead for it. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember our own pastor back at Staplehurst today. Graciously help him and bless our dear friends there. We do pray. But, Lord, each of the places, Lord, where the word is faithfully preached, Lord, and those pastors and ministers we know and those we don't know. But, Lord, thou knowest. We pray that thou wilt be with them across the lands in the world. We do plead it. Lord, we do pray. We do believe there are those still in Ukraine that serve the Lord. And, Lord, we understand there have been some that have met even in their houses. Lord, we pray for the dear people in Ukraine. Lord, we do pray that at this time of great conflict, Lord, our prayers may be for them. And Lord, we know that in the last times there will be those wars and rumours of wars. And oh, how solemn the days are. And Lord, we hear much of man's interpretation of nuclear wars and all these things. Oh, Lord, we would come where we started in prayer that thou art God Almighty and thou dost rule and reign in the earth. Yes, and Lord, that we might ever remember it when men start talking and we've heard many talk, even those that we have to do with, about the potential conflict to rise into, become a nuclear war and the obliteration of man. Oh, Lord, may our eyes be up unto thee. We pray thou would watch over us in the Western world. We pray, Lord, we pray for this Russian leader. Lord, he is not beyond the conversion power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for his soul. Oh, many pray for his destruction. Lord, may we pray that he might be converted. And Lord, though the thoughts come in, that's utterly impossible. We know with thee nothing is possible, that he might be changed and moved. And therefore, Lord, thou wilt stop this war. We do pray whatever thou means thou wilt use, that thou wilt prevent. Lord, oh, further bloodshed, if it could be thy will. What a solemn time it is in the world. Lord, we've had those 2 years now, solemn time with the virus and man flailing around, not knowing what to do for fear. And now we have this situation. Should it not be a voice to us? Should it not be a voice to the lands of the world? Should it not be a voice to leaders? But no, Lord, they do not turn to the Lord. Oh, we think of the minor prophet who spoke of that. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. But oh, Lord, what reticence is in man naturally to do it, any of us. But Lord, our leaders, oh, that there might be a looking unto thee. Oh, that there might be a praying to thee, that thou wilt prevent further atrocities in this war. And that, Lord, that the that it may be prevented from continuing. Oh, we do plead, Lord, but remember thy people in that land. And Lord, also, are the none of thy people in Russia, those that are having to now be quiet and unless pressure threatened, Lord, in such a regime. Lord, we should rightly give thanks to thee for the openness, Lord, although we appreciate how difficult it is to be a Christian believer even in this nation these days. Yet, Lord, we do not suffer that of being put into prison for believing in thee, that the courts of God are open and unlawfully preventing us. And so, Lord, oh, help us to pray for that people in that land at this time. Oh, we feel hopelessly inadequate, but we do leave the matter with thee, Almighty God, pleading and praying that thou wouldest truly appear. Do remember each one, Lord, in their spiritual concerns. Lord, oh, that souls might really feel today is a day when there is something for them. Lord, perhaps a soul is cast down. Perhaps a soul is struggling with their faith. They believe they've got such little faith and they feel the case is hopeless. Perhaps, Lord, they're besieged by the enemy, telling them that with them theirs is a hopeless case. Lord, give them that little line in the hymn, "Such it had been, but for grace." And Lord, oh, we pray that they might know something of the grace of our Lord Jesus coming into their hearts, flowing in, and that will change the position. Lord, bless hungry souls, thirsty souls, barren souls, empty souls. Fill them, Lord. All thou knowest, the work which is the work of God and God alone. We plead that thou wilt come and make one in our midst this very day. Pray for the deacons here in all their responsibilities, cares and concerns, and the choice of the hymns and the running of the chapel. Lord, help them in these things, so much to do. And Lord, that their eyes will be up unto thee. Bless them and favour them. Remember the church here, Lord. Do yet add unto them such as shall be saved. Constrain sinners to walk in thy commands, Lord, we pray. In the day of thy power, they will have to follow thee. Oh, yes, we see there Matthew. Matthew, he's having to follow the Lord. Oh, he may have his taxes to collect, but follow me, follow me. And so it is that he did. And Lord, therefore we pray in that day that it shall be done. Lord, then be with each one as two in the congregation, the different ages, the different needs, the babes. Lord, how lovely to hear the voice and the cry of the babes and the children, Lord, and be with them in the Sunday school and the teaching, whether they be taught at school or at home. Help them in their education, Lord. We do pray be with them in it all, and grant, Lord, that looking up unto thee, even at a young age, and, O Lord, be with those in the middle part of life, and the parents, and those that are in the heat and burden of the day, those with particular exercises and concerns, and do remember those in old age. And, Lord, be with them as perhaps their physical or mental capabilities seem to fail a little day by day. Lord, oh, to look to Jesus, to be strengthened, to be helped in him. Lord, to come down. We've got to come down, Lord. Oh, give us grace. Give us, Lord, that eye to be upon thee, and, oh, to be emboldened, Lord, by our faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord. Thou knowest our need, each of us, in whatever we are walking in. Lord, now, what wait I for, says one, my hope is in thee. Truly, the psalmist needed it. He's God. Oh, well, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and open the word, enable us to preach. Lord, how can we preach except we've been sent? Oh, Lord, and what a burden it is with us. And, oh, what a burden it will be with each of the friends, whether they're deacons or in the church or whatever, that, oh, is it real? Is it real with me? Oh, show them, Lord, even this day, that their religion's a real religion, true religion that is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Lord, may there be those feelings. May we have a feeling religion, and may it even be shown today. Forgive our poor prayers and many sins. Oh, many, many sins to plead forgiveness for, each of us have. Help us, Lord, to lay them before thee and to plead that thou wilt obliterate them, wash them away by thy sin atoning sacrifice, thy precious blood. We plead these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 674. 674. How sinners vaunt of power, a ruined soul to save, and count the fulsome store of worth they seem to have, and by such visionary props build up and bolster sandy hopes. Hymn 674.
needing so much the help of thee, dear Lord. As we venture once again, we would lead your prayerful attention to the chapter we read, Isaiah 30, and verses 20 and 21 have been laid on my heart. Perhaps this morning, really, verse 20, but we see, friends, 20 and 21, Isaiah 30, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Well, friends, we have a word that begins with the gift of God. And though the Lord give you. Now, friends, we might look at these things and say, what of a gift is there in these things? The bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Gifts of God. Well, may the Lord help us to open this up as to how they can possibly be gifts. And what we mean, and I do desire to be simple, by adversity, by affliction. And indeed, what it means by our teachers and who our teachers are, and when they are removed into a corner. And indeed, now that through this bread of adversity and water of affliction, that we shall see our teachers. So as we consider this verse 20 then, may the Lord help us. This gift, the bread then of adversity. Now the first thing I would say, friends, is we've got bread and we've got water here. And they are fundamentals to life. If we have no food, we cannot live. Bread, of course, is the fundamental term for food. Water is a fundamental drink, isn't it? I know, friends, we drink and eat other things, but they are the fundamental tokens. We need them for spiritual life. Friends, have you tasted a crumb? Have you tasted anything of the bread of heaven? Feed me till I want no more. You see, we need to have the bread from above. And what about the water? Yes. Have you drunk of the water sweet of Bethlehem's well? I've got a question for you and I this morning. The basics of life, the basics of spiritual life. If you say, I don't know what you're talking about, my dear friend, I would say, pray to the Lord that he would show you your need of these basics, necessities in life, the bread and the water. And you know, even naturally, the Lord has appeared in days gone past in particular. And we think of dear John Warburton, when he was so exercised about whether he should go, well, he wanted to go to Maidstone, as he'd had a call there to the pastorate, and the Lord was directing him to Trowbridge. But you know, he felt this because he would have that certainty of being looked after financially if he went to Maidstone. But the Lord said this to him, thy bread and thy water shall be sure. And he's not the only servant of God that had that. I read of Samuel Curtis, had nothing to eat, friends, but bread in 1878, I think it was. They were days of real difficulty in terms of, for some poor souls, without the welfare state that we have these days, and the poor man, he had no bread, and he had just bread and water in a meal, and the enemy said to him, "You can't give thanks for that." He said, but he was completely broken down before the Lord, broken down that he had something to eat. And so, friends, the basics, and it is so spiritually, the basics that the Lord has fed us, watered us. Oh, and friends, I'm not saying it's every time we enter the house of God, but from time to time. But let's come beyond just bread and water. It's the bread of adversity. A gift. This is a gift. Now, adversity is something that works against us. It's an adverse situation. I could say, because the motorway was shut this morning, that was an adverse situation to me. And it was, of course. Delayed me about half an hour. Now, friends, that therefore, we could, for the children, to make that simple, something that is adverse, it is something that is against, that causes us difficulties. It's a difficult situation, is the dictionary rendering. So the Lord give you the bread of difficult situations. Yes, my friends. And you call that a gift? Yes, my friends, too. The Lord give you. What a gift. You know how it speaks in the Psalms this. It says this, Psalms 55, 22, I think the verse is, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you, thee. Now, friends, think of this. You might say, well, what's the relevance? It's this burden. You look at the margin, it says gift. Gift. It's a gift. The burden caused by the adverse situation that you're walking through. Adversities in soul. Adversities in pathway. Adversities in providence. Adversities in the family. Whatever that situation is that's adverse. And maybe you've come into chapel this morning and you have those adverse things. And I do. Friends, I tell you, they're gifts from the Lord. Oh, it doesn't seem like it, does it? You know, when these things are so trying and so difficult to us, our flesh rises up against them and it doesn't want them. But my friends, it's spiritual food in it. The bread of adversity. Oh, were you just having to have a few crumbs of that bread of adversity in your pathway at the moment? And poor sinner, you can't see where the scene's going to end. No, but you see, it's a gift. Why is it a gift? The man in the street, the woman in the street that are wending their way to hell, they have their adverse situations. Oh, friends, we know it. They have their adverse situations. But it does not bring them to God. They're not gifts from God because it has no effect. It embitters them. Or it takes them that instead they must go to the bingo hall or the pub or whatever it is. You've got to drown your sorrows and do these things. Oh, friends, there's just that bitterness of heart and bitterness of spirit. Yes, friends, they have their troubles. We know that. But they're not sanctified to the good of the soul. But the bread. Oh, this bread of adversity, it's for the good of our soul that it's a gift. I say, poor sinner, have you eaten a few crumbs of light? Or in your life, in your spiritual experience. No, I don't want that bread. I want the bread that's got a good taste. I want the bread of an easy pathway. I want the bread of an easy way. Yes, sinner, so do I. So do I. But you know, the Lord will have us to eat the bread of adversity to bring us to him. And don't we have to prove it? And friends, you know, we don't wish to speak of ourselves, but we prove a little of that bread of adversity. You know, when we're trying to ponder the word of God and it's completely taken out of our mind because we've got to concentrate on all these back roads. I know we have to concentrate in driving, friends. You'll understand my point. But you see, the heart is turned aside. Then the enemy says, you see, you can't do these things. The bread of adversity. Even in those small things, there are adverse situations. You children at school can come against adverse situations. When you struggle perhaps to learn a particular subject, or even at home in your home learning, but you're struggling in something. It's a gift. A gift to encourage you to turn to the Lord. To take with you words in prayer and lay it before him and turn to him. Oh, friends, what a favour it is that we have a God to go to. The gift, the low, the Lord give you. The bread of adversity. Oh, is it an adverse situation then that you have at the moment? Oh, you see, you're saying in your heart perhaps, a little bit like Jacob of old, all these things are against me. Ah, Jacob, you're eating of the bread. Jacob, you are. But you'll yet see the wagons coming. You'll yet see the time of deliverance. Yes. Lo, the Lord give you the bread of adversity. Friends, I want to stop here. You know, we want to sing a note of prayer and praise. We want to glorify God for the bread of adversity. Friends, you know, a truly exercised heart brought there and softened before the Lord will be thankful for the trials. Will be thankful for the pathway they're having to walk in. Will be thankful that they have an enemy that fights against them. Why? Because it's a sign, it's an indication that there's a place in heaven for them. Oh, friends, some might say, well, you're trying to bring hope out of a dark place. I'm not trying to do anything, friends. I just believe it truly is the case that if the Lord touches the heart with the afflictions that are brought upon us and we see the hand of God in it and realise that he's teaching us through it. Well, we'll come to the teachers later on. But truly, this is the teaching. His teaching, that heavenly teaching, that we must look to him and him alone in these times and lean harder upon him. Yes, to come up out of the wilderness leaning upon our beloved, that he is beloved to us. You see, friends, if we just carry on in our own way, walking the pathway, friends, and I can say this in spiritual things too, we can think we've got a spiritual religion, friends, but unless our all is in him, we don't. And we need to be stirred up in these things, don't we, to be right. But, friends, we need the bread of adversity. Oh, you say, I can't pray for that. How can I pray to have adverse situations? How can I pray to have these things that are against me? Well, friends, I understand that. But you can pray this. You can pray that the Lord will give you his promises. What does he say? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, that's what this bread is. It's a bit of tribulation. It's a tribulatory pathway. But he doesn't finish. He didn't finish his sentence there to the disciples, did he? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Yes, poor sinner, in that dark place this morning, be of good cheer. Yes, I have overcome the world. And be of good cheer. There is that heavenly place stored up. There is that heavenly kingdom. Oh, friends, it's a lovely word, isn't it? As he speaks to his disciples there, if I can find it in John's Gospel, I think. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Overcome it. Oh, those of you then in that dark place, in that dungeon this morning that seems a little hopeless, and that truly is where, you know, in the dungeon you're eating that bread of adversity. Friends, you won't be the first one. You won't be the first one and you won't be the last. You know, we read of Micaiah, the prophet. We read of that dear man and the king of the time, I think it was Zedekiah, who put him into the dungeon. And and he says this, "Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction. And feed him and with water of affliction until I come in peace." You see, this Micaiah, he prophesied Ahab's destruction. And Ahab and Zedekiah, they didn't want to hear that. But so he had to go and be in the dungeon. But the blessed man was a man of God, you see. And so it is. There is that time of the bread of adversity. The bread of adversity. Yes. Well then, what of the water of affliction? We'll be given both these things, friends. There's an and there. It doesn't say all the water of affliction. Oh, you say, I've got enough with the bread of adversity. Those things that are contrary to what I would have them to be, without afflictions. Well, friends, what is affliction? Well, how are we defining affliction? Now, friends, in that we often think naturally, don't we, that affliction is illness. Really it is, but it's also a wider definition than that. It's a grievous occurrence against us, something that grievously troubles us. Yes, it can be afflictions in the flesh, as in the illnesses and sicknesses and weaknesses and allergies and all those things. But it goes beyond that. It is those large troubles. Soul trouble. A soul trouble is an affliction. A providential trouble that's deep is an affliction. And it's water. Water of affliction, the basic drink during such a time. Friends, the margin says oppression. Oppression, that we're oppressed. We're like Hezekiah, where he's got that death sentence upon him. And he says a little later, it's recorded in Isaiah's prophecy here, that he says, I am oppressed. Is that where you are this morning, soul? If you're oppressed, you are having to taste of the water of affliction. I am oppressed. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail, we're looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Young friends might wonder what the word undertake means. Manage. Manage the situation for me. Yes, oh, we would be simple in our ministry for the young friends if we can. But you see, the bread of adversity, so we're having to take something of that. And now we've got the waters of affliction as well, these grievous troubles to us. And we're having to taste. And it's like the children of Israel at Marah. The water is bitter. You don't want to take another sip, but you know you've got to for the, as I say, the sustenance of your spiritual life, but it's bitter. Friends, your water's bitter. Your water of affliction is bitter. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved him. Friends, what did he drink? He had to drink that vinegar mixed with, friends, oh, you see, that vinegar mixed with gold just before his end. What did he drink? He had to drink the cup of suffering right up. Your water that's bitter, your pathway you're going through that's bitter to you, that is the water of affliction. It's nothing compared to his. Oh, how bitter that cup no heart can conceive, which he drank quite up, that sinners might live. Oh, friends, if you're in this text today, this morning, you're a living sinner. I know it feels a grim theme, but friends, it's true, it's where we are. But you're a living sinner. You'll be living eternally with him in heaven, you know, because he's bringing you through these waters of affliction. He's bringing you through with the bread of adversity. Yes, like those that have gone before. But they weren't left there, would they, with the bitter waters? They weren't left to be bitter. Oh, was there not the... that was cast into the waters to make them sweet. And so it is with the bitter things in your pathway and the bitter things in mine, spiritual and providence, that there will be that sweetening. Yes, indeed there will. In the time of the Lord, you will see him appear in these bitter things. Why? Because he's bringing you to pray over them. He's bringing you to lay them before him. He's bringing you to look to him for teaching and for learning in them. Oh, the afflictions and the bread of adversity. You know, there's a lovely note in that book on the history of Tenterden Chapel, that lady, Louis Cooper, her name was, much afflicted from about the age of 19, and she moved her membership, I believe, from these parts, from Fenstanton down to Tenterden. She lived in the chapel house. She could never get to the chapel. She went there from 1953 till about 1958. She was bedridden, and even her jaw was fixed at times, that she couldn't. She had some problem with her skeletal system, and her hands were twisted round, and she could write, but she could do very little else. But what, friends, what a lady taught through affliction, as she wrote many, many letters to the Lord's servants and others, and gave them guidance and support. And Mr. Humberstone spoke of her as such a gracious lady, and yet she couldn't get out of her bed. Such were her afflictions. And he also spoke of this, and we've not come to the teachers yet. We've not talked about a teacher. What a teacher in grace. What a teacher she was, used of the Lord to teach others and to give the truth to them in those letters. Friends, afflictions cannot stand in the way of the Lord's work. Oh, they're part of it. So they were. I know she's an extreme case, but friends, doesn't it encourage us that these things that have come upon us are for the benefit of the Lord, for the benefit of an everlasting kingdom? You know, I thought of this driving up, friends. I tried to pray there might be some benefit for eternity in the services today. And I thought, eternity, we can't grasp it. From one service today, a benefit from eternity. I thought, I know not what I asked for. I can't grasp it, friends. And yet, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord came in some way or another, through a hymn, doesn't need to be through me, nothing to do with men, you know, friends. The Lord's work is nothing to do with men whatsoever. Yes, he uses them. And that's it. And he's the one who gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honour. We can take nothing to ourselves, any of us. But you see, this water of affliction, well, we're not getting on very far, are we? But, oh, friends, to see that there's that which must be in our pathway. It must be. And I know we don't want any of this. We want to feast at the king's table. We want the richest and the strongest wine. I speak so spiritually. Friends, no. I'm giving you this gift. Poor sinner, be encouraged. I know you want the strong wine of the gospel. I know you want those chunks of bread that are beautified with the Lord's blessing. But, oh friends, be content with such things as ye have, because they're indications that you're walking in the narrow way, the way to life. Oh friends, I'd rather this than you said, I'm so blessed every time I come to chapel. No, friends, I want to know of those that are eating the bread of adversity. We want to hear of those that are drinking of the water of affliction. Yes. Well, friends, oh, may we then continue. Yet. So, really, despite all this, thy teachers shan't be removed into a corner anymore. Now, this really, in many ways, is a historic word relating to the prophets at the time. And we think of Isaiah. We've not spoken of him this morning, really. But he was respected by some. But many in Judah would not listen to his words. He was a prophet cast into a corner. Turn away from the words of the prophet. And you know, the prophets were often maltreated. We think of Ahab and the way he treated, and Jezebel and the way they treated the prophets. What? There were a hundred of them were the not prophets, 50 by 50. They were laid up. Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, we read. And Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. And do you know what they were fed with? The prophets in the cave. The Lord's word doesn't change. Bread and water, friends. Bread and water. But you see, the prophets there, they were preserved. But they weren't. They were disrespected. They were not treated well. And indeed, the prophets really, in a way, there is this interpretation that the teachers were the prophets. They were to teach the people through the mouth, to be the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus, of God in heaven. They were to be the, as it were, his mouthpiece in warning the people, which they did. They warned Judah. I mean, look at the warning at the beginning of this chapter. Do you know, it read my heart, woe to the rebellious children. I couldn't get beyond the first sentence, and I thought, well, that's covered me already. They take counsel, but not of me. They don't take counsel of the Lord. The rebellious children, you see, they don't take counsel of the Lord. They go down into Egypt to get their advice and support. They look to the strength of Pharaoh. You read it in the first few chapters of this verses of this chapter, let alone in the earlier part of the book of Isaiah. And these prophets were not regarded at all. That was the thing. There were a few that did. And I know Isaiah in particular, when he spoke of Jerusalem being surrounded by the Assyrians and that they would be delivered, and we read of that. I think it was in about 701 before Christ. It came to pass, and they looked to Isaiah, and Hezekiah saw that, and some of the kings, such as Hezekiah, did look to the prophet, but many didn't, many wouldn't. And as we said, Ahab maltreated, and Elijah as well was maltreated by them. They were not accepted, these spiritual teachers. Now, friends, it's a solemn thing that if we listen not to those, the servants of God, in one sense, I know there's, and friends, we come to it, there's one heavenly teacher, but there are many teachers, because it is in the plural here, many teachers that the Lord sets up. Sunday school teachers, those that guide and direct us, can even be our parents, teachers in the way of God, and we all have a responsibility, you know, to guide and direct the young in the right way. But the spiritual teachers, as in the prophets or not so much prophets these days, but the servants of God and those raised up into office, those in the church. You see, they are teachers. Now, not all are given the ability naturally to teach, but they're teachers in the things of God. You know, I love it because the Hebrew says ordinary teachers. Doesn't that bring us to our right place? Ordinary teachers. And that ordinary teacher is one that, therefore, is really coming under the heavenly teacher. But an ordinary teacher, a one that is a day-to-day teaching then in the things of God, the servants, the Sunday school teachers, all of these. And oh, young friends, do look to them, do look up to them, do listen to them, that you may remember in years to come that you've been taught in the Sunday school. And it may be a blessing and favour to you, but the teachers, now, they won't be removed into a corner, hidden out the way. Because this bread of adversity, this water of affliction, won't allow us to go on in our own sweet way. We need to look to the heavenly teacher. We need to look, and sometimes has helped, we rather than going to Egypt, but we will be taught to go to those that we know have a love to in the truth. Those teachers, but mainly the heavenly teacher, to go to him, and that he's not hidden away. Now, friends, I might give, and I'm sure you'll forgive me for this, a little teaching analogy here, and that is, you know, and perhaps particularly you noticed it at secondary school, where you'll have a cover teacher, a supply teacher. They're not the genuine teacher of that subject, because they were covering for them. And friends, I feel this, that often you get that, if you like, that more adverse, worse behaviour during those lessons, because the supply teacher's covering, they haven't built up that rapport with the children, and therefore they're more likely to, I was going to say, in that sense, put them in the corner, forget about the teacher and the supply teacher and mess about. Now, what is there in that spiritually? Friends, there is. There is something in that. You know, friends, it's only when the Lord is teaching us through these afflictions, through these sufferings, through these trials, through these burdens and cares, and it's being laid upon us that we see him. We see him teaching us through that. And we will learn in the school of Christ because he is showing us the way. But in our nature, we want to follow the, as it were, our nature is going to mess about and go the other way with the supply teacher. Friends, I know it's a natural analogy, but let us think of the spiritual side of it. Oh, what sinful wretches we are. One says, how off we start aside, and we do. But oh, friends, this morning to be able to, in your adverse situations and mine, and in those afflictions, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. Yes. Alone. To keep our eyes on him. All the afflictions. You know, I was reading an older a bit a book, Gospel Standard in the 90s, regarding Mr. Dickinson recently. Some of you will remember David Dickinson, who was very involved in the Gospel Standard Societies and a member at Tamworth Road. And a dear man, you know, he died at 70 in 1990, around there. But the thing was, he was taken very ill at 52. And but his wife said to him, she said, I believe you're and they actually medically gave up hope of him living, but he was spared for another 18 years. His wife said this: I've had these words regarding you, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit, and it's and I believe you'll be spared. Well, he was for 18 years, but 18 years of affliction. But during that 18 years, he said those afflictions helped him to see all that he wouldn't have seen otherwise. always in the things spiritually, and in him as he was enabled to continue his pathway serving the societies. You see, friends, oh, these things came upon him. It was the bread of adversity. It was the water of affliction. Yet, it brought him to Christ. Oh, it brought him there. You know, it's all summed up in a few words. Like this, I was brought low. Brought low, you see, you have to be through these things. And he helped me. You see, we're not left there, friends. We're not left in the dungeon. We're not left in these low places. But you see, thy teachers and this heavenly teacher. So they're not the teachers, the prophets, but the heavenly teacher in the singular rather than the plural. They're not removed into a corner. But we see, our eyes are on him. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Thine eyes shall see the teaching that we're being taught in the classroom of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our spiritual experience, through these things. Oh, you see, if we didn't have them, there wouldn't be any teaching. We'd have nothing to learn, would we? Because we'd be in the wide way, going to hell. But no, friends, to be in this narrow way and therefore to be partakers of the bread of adversity, yes, the water of affliction, and that these things are teaching us, they're not embittering us, as we spoke of the worldling and how they go with these things that come upon them. But no, they are leading us to Christ and to him. Thy teachers be removed into a corner. When they're in a corner, you see, they're hidden away. Hidden away. But you see, friends, the Lord does give people, when we come back to it in the plural, and there is only one, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who was sent to teach. And didn't he teach at an early age? Didn't he teach when he was 12, there in the temple, teaching those that have got so much wisdom? Oh, friends, he's the heavenly teacher. Yes. Oh, how many times do we read in the Bible, teach me, teach me. You friends can look up, young people, perhaps look that up, where it speaks of the word teach, and see how many times it comes. We all need to be taught and to be shown through these things. But there are those, and the Lord God sets it forth. God sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Yes. Are all apostles, are all prophets? No, not all. All given different gifts according to the work of grace. But you see, some apostles, Paul says, writing to the Ephesians, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And friends, the role of a pastoral ministry is a teacher over the people, and yet they're an under-shepherd, an under-teacher. And the Lord says, I will give thee pastors after mine own heart, who will teach thee with knowledge, or lead thee with knowledge and understanding. I think I misquoted the word slightly from Jeremiah. You can look it up. But you see, such it is for the church. Some evangelists, some prophets, and some teachers. These are given. And oh, we should pray for them and pray that more will be raised up, and pray that these teachers will be used to encourage the children of God. Coming back to that Louis Cooper, she would often write a letter of encouragement to the Lord's servants. She would hear the relay into her bedroom from Tenterden Chapel, and she would write letters of encouragement and support. Friends, and in that, we're teaching others and showing others what the Lord has revealed to us. You know, we can't run away from this. You could be a young person and you can be a teacher, you know. To qualify for that in the school of Christ is to be shown that you've known what it is to walk in the path of having the bread of affliction, a bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But friends, I really want to emphasize this point, and that is, you must know of the bread of adversity. You must know of the water of affliction. And you must know that all the natural teaching you will ever learn in life is of no good. But the teachers that you will appreciate are those that are teaching you that you're being taught through these afflictions. And it is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working in you, teaching you, showing you what a sinner you are, showing you that there's only one way of salvation through the Lord, showing you that you have no hope unless you walk a little in the path that your Lord and Saviour walked in. Yes, we must know a little of the bitterness of the way. We must know a little of what it is to have these trials, these temptations. These times when we know not how to take another step. And I think Paul quotes in the Acts somewhere confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And friends, that's what I do hope. That's what we're trying, or we desire the Lord would do for you, exhorting you to continue in the faith. And it goes on to say this, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What a glorious entrance it will be, friends. Because we've come through, and we've been fed with that that bread. We've been fed with that water, but he has not let us down. And that we shall cross that final Jordan, shouting the triumphs of our King. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany at 2:30. And the collections this Lord's Day are for the Ukrainians. And there's a meeting of the chapel trustees at 7:00 tomorrow evening. Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And there'll also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9:00. And Fenstanton hold their anniversary services on Saturday the 19th. Let us close with hymn 184. 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
Amen.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word. Forgive anything thy pure, holy eyes have seen amiss. And, Lord, be with us each in the interval of services. Help us this afternoon at Fenstanton. And be with us as we, God willing, meet here this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.